He talks sports just like you do, only better. And he gets paid a lot more money to do it. Bob McCowan in Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I don't care, John. My show. If I want to leave my half-eaten sandwich on the table, I'll leave it on the table.
Yes, you will, Bob.
It's definitely a protest of some kind. Do you want to share with us what you're protesting today, or just
I'm
leave
not
it
protesting anything. I haven't.
Bob.
I've been busy doing the program. I haven't had time to eat my whole sandwich.
How long have you known me? How long have you known Shannon? We know it's a protest. We just don't know what the protest is.
Well, you'll just have to live without the knowledge of what it is. And I'm telling you, I'm not protesting anything. I just haven't finished my sandwich. And I used to have, they used to have little tables
here.
So
it's a protest against no table.
Aha!
We used to have little tables here that were below the sight line of the
what
audience.
Happened to
and
them?
I do not know. They renovated the studio. The tables disappeared.
I have a table.
Oh, nice, John.
Not a very good
I don't use the keyboard anyway. Keyboards are passive.
You've now broken it.
Are you telling me it worked properly?
I don't know that. I never sit there. But I have this half-eaten sandwich. I will finish it in good time. Thank you very much. Now, introducing the cast of characters. To my left, Damian Cox, who is a regular on this program. To my right, John Shannon, who likewise is a regular on this program, although he's a regular on virtually every program on this
network.
That's
true. That is not true.
That is true.
Not mine.
Well, that's James Sharman down there who just kind of wanders at the last minute.
I did 5 years of the North American Soccer League, James.
Yeah, really? We invite you on here. Why can't we come on your show?
Listen, anytime. How about tomorrow morning? 8?
I'm busy.
A.M.
I'll give you a better one. I did play-by-play of the Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
Is that myth true? That's a true myth, huh? Because I heard that rumor.
No, it's true.
But you hate soccer.
I hated it then. I hate it now. But I like Spurs.
No, yeah. So that was when the Strikers come here and to the exhibition and you did play-by-play? Or did you actually go to...
I did some away games, too.
Did you go to home games in Fort Lauderdale?
They were actually played in Miami, I think, back then.
No, the Robbie family owned them.
Oh, who?
Well, I think they played it. If I'm not mistaken, they played some games
at the
Orange Bowl.
I did a playoff series. I did a playoff series.
Now you're
series
just showing us the detritus at the back of your brain that's never been used for like 35 years. Didn't they used to play in Miami?
I did a playoff series with the Edmonton Drillers and the Fort Lauderdale Strikers at a high school stadium in Fort Lauderdale. High school stadium in Fort Lauderdale.
We are talking NASL soccer.
And Tim Robbie.
Yeah. Primetime Sports. You see what happens when I show up?
Yeah.
Tim Robbie was the president.
All hell breaks loose. You're not coming back, by the way, if this continues.
Wow. That's quite a story. How did your line, when you said they're in over the line, they're not waiting, how did that work?
Worked well. Yeah.
Didn't they lay like that?
Yep.
Well, you know, they did have that extra line. They had that adaptive offside rule
in the NASL.
So there was an extra line, you know.
Well, for years, anytime there was a soccer game in Canada, there were all kinds of lines out there.
Yeah, that's right. Great. Yeah.
Football line, all sorts of lines.
Well, I remember climbing. The thing I remember the most was when we did games against the Toronto Blizzard.
Correct.
That was at the old exhibition stadium. And so the press box was up on the roof of the closed side.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Sure.
And then you had to walk across the roof.
Wasn't that bad, Bob?
Well, it scared the hell out of me.
I didn't.
By that point, stadium was
Argos
old
were the same
and
way.
Crotchety.
You did Argo games that way too.
Yeah, I know.
That was one of my favorite Pat Burns stories of the late and beloved Pat Burns. Was watching him at the 91.
Man, you're old.
91 Canada Cup, and was one of the Sutters having just a laugh walking him across the catwalk at Cops Coliseum. Wow. And watching him.
Well, speaking of the catwalk, did you ever walk the catwalk at the old Maple Leaf Gardens?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Sure.
Wow, I did that once. I don't want to do that again.
It's all still there, isn't it?
Part of it. I haven't, you know, I have well, not that's a been good to question. Mattamy. I have not
If
been
you
to
go
Mattamy.
Into Mattamy now, basically, like they sort of lifted everything up, right? But the roof and the canopy and everything.
Yeah, still there.
It's still there.
That's interesting. I don't know whether
I'll have to go check the gondola. That was one of the great thrills, is working at the gondola for
What's
many
that?
Years.
What's that ringing?
There's no ringing, Bob.
There's a ringing noise. What have you got?
There's no ringing.
Put $5 in the pot.
$5.
You don't just because someone messaged me while I'm sitting
yeah.
here?
Yeah, you yeah. can't be taking messages. Yeah. Get all.
I your... can't stop it. It's the internet.
You can turn the volume down.
Well, the very least you can do.
You just dropped. What did you drop over there?
You dropped the whole.
Nothing.
I dropped his whole thing.
There's a keyboard.
My whole thing. I dropped my whole thing.
On the floor.
The keyboard upside down
we'll
on the floor.
We'll fix it during the commercial.
Here, I'll see if I can turn it down.
Great. What do you, volume is an amazing thing on a computer, Damian.
Yeah, the V thing.
Oh, listen all to right, Shannon. All can of we a get sudden, on? Technical expert.
Technical expert.
Can we get on with the show? The dreams of a World Series for Blue Jay fans and the team itself came to a crashing end this week as they lost in five games to the Cleveland Indians. We all know that. It was interesting. I was driving in today, and I was listening to that that little show that's on before us, Andrew's little show, and you were a guest. And you...
Oh, no. Am I in trouble?
Well, you defined... Well, I don't know what the exact words were, but you... You sort of purported that, in your opinion, the Blue Jays got crushed by the Cleveland Indians.
Yes. Well, I said they were – I don't think I said crushed. No, I said they were
– I'm paraphrasing.
It wasn't close is what I said.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, if you consider a 2-0, 2-1, 4-2, and 3-0 losses.
Well, and as you heard what I said to Andrew, how many times did they have the lead?
The only game they had the lead was the game they won.
So they were in a position to win one game.
Well – I mean, technically, well, but.
Hey, the pitching, and as I said to him too, pitching was it's hard spectacular.
It's hard to argue that point. I would not have looked at it. Would you have looked at it as a, like they got blown out in this
not
series?
Not blown out.
I didn't say blown out.
Not
I
said crushed,
they. I'm paraphrasing.
I didn't say that either.
Demolished.
You see, no, what, not
demolished.
You see what happens here?
No, I do see. I think they were smacked. I do. Yeah. I see it. You know.
Yeah, but you're a soccer guy. 2-0 is like a... They destroyed them 2-0.
2-0, yeah.
That's
exactly.
A skunking. And you actually don't have to play the
second
half. I think
they called the mercy rule at 2-0.
Right. Yeah, they would.
I was waiting for that one. But, you know, listen, yes, that the scores were pretty close, more so than the Texas series. But you watch those games, and from the first innings, it seemed that they were never in contention. There were narrow score lines, but it seemed far worse than that, far more.
Well, let me rephrase
that. And the deciding game was a great example. Did you ever think they were going to win?
I never thought they were going to score a run in any game.
So there you go. Hard to win that way.
I mean, I never felt, okay, they're going to explode at some point here. They're going to get to this guy. I just never got that feeling.
That was a strange game, wasn't it, the last one? I was at the game, and the atmosphere just, it was lacking something.
Mm-hmm.
Like every previous game, perhaps, yeah.
I think the last two games.
There's this air of resignation in the stands.
I don't have the stat, but one of the stats I heard was, and I guess during the broadcast, is they were 1-for-40-something with runners on base.
And I think they struck out some, I saw the number 50, but that can't be right.
Yeah, 50 strikeouts in five games. Struck out 10 times a game on average.
Like to steal a phrase from the kids today, OMG. Like, that's a lot of strikeouts.
Well, yes, but
and that was about how they struck out all year long?
That's the point.
Yeah. So, yeah.
This was not a movie we had not seen. We had seen it plenty of times this year.
And you know what? It wasn't even like, remember we had the discussion last time about, who was it? Remember we said somebody deserved to win because they had all those runners on base. It was Texas in game 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, they, you know, or game 2. Well, they had all those runners on base. They deserved to win. So you can't even make that argument about the Blue Jays, that they had all these runners on base and they had all these opportunities. They didn't cash them in. They didn't have any opportunities.
They were 1-for-11 the first three games, yeah. Runners in scoring position.
But that's not that many runners.
No, but just the fact that even in the limited amount, they weren't – didn't matter if they got to second base. It just did not matter.
No.
And that, so, I think that was the disappointing thing. And really – when you looked at the 4, 5, 6 hitter, and at that point it was in no particular order, Bautista, Tulowitzki, Martin, or Martin Tulowitzki, that when they needed a big hit from those positions in the batting order, it
they
never came.
They didn't get it. Look, at you could – I mean, I don't – so how did you guys – so leading off the night, it's 3-0 in game 5, and it looks bleak, but you got the top of the order up. Bautista gets to 2 strikes and doubles down the left field line.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got Jose Bautista on second base with nobody out, and Donaldson, Encarnacion, Tulowitzki are coming up.
No, you not Donaldson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donaldson.
Sorry, you're right. I apologize. You're right. Okay.
Apologies aren't, you know, it's a little late.
It's a little late to apologize after you've critiqued me, slam me in the national, in front of a national audience.
Quick, John, drop something else, a distraction.
Damn hockey puck. So how did you feel? Did you, what, I mean, did, was, are, were you optimistic? Were you hopeful? Were you pessimistic? Did you think that maybe this was, they were going to pull a rabbit out of their hat?
That was the one time in the entire game, maybe the series, where the fans got off their feet and really got behind the players. They're chanting, Joey, Joey. They're chanting, Eddie, Eddie. That was the first time I experienced that energy in that series. There was that air of resignation from day one. So I was standing there with fans to my left and to my right. I didn't really believe it either. There was something wrong, something missing from this team. That last year was that feel-good factor, that new shiny thing, you know, the stir the pot. There was that air of optimism around the team.
They score five runs anytime.
Right, right. But, anytime. But this year, from day one in April, we're waiting for this team to break out. And we thought they broke out against Texas, but it turned out to be just over three games. And then the bats went silent again. So I think there's this air of disappointment this year in that inning. I didn't expect them to mount a comeback.
Was it an air of resignation or just an air of respect of the of two guys, Miller and Allen?
Yeah, maybe.
Particularly Miller.
That'll create resignation in a hurry.
Yeah, it will.
And if you never have the lead, then you're walking into those two guys every game.
Yeah.
Didn't you think they were closer? Didn't you think they were closer last year against Kansas City than they were this year against?
Well, Cleveland? I think I felt they were closer against Kansas City because it was the offense had demonstrated over and over during the year their ability, as I just said, to Charmin
from the trade deadline.
Yeah, that they could score right, 10 runs in a game, and they could have a 5-run inning anytime,
And you can.
I never felt that way.
You can win 15-12. You can't win nothing. You know, and so the great pitching was wonderful. And the one thing that I think is Cleveland didn't hit either.
Cleveland didn't hit as much as the Blue Jays did. But I mean, the very intriguing things. I think the Blue Jays out hit Cleveland 32-25 in the series.
Something like that.
Yeah. But
I think Cleveland hit 158 or some crazy number.
Shockingly, Cleveland hit six home runs and the Blue Jays hit two. And there was nothing statistically to suggest that was not only not likely, but even possible. They capitalized on their opportunities, sure. and the Blue Jays didn't.
Coco Crisp hit one.
Mike Napoli.
Yeah, Napoli, you expect to hit one, but you don't.
Napoli crushed that one.
You don't believe Crisp is going to hit a home run. And even Francisco Lindor, while probably the player of the series, you're hoping he's not going to hurt you with the long ball. But he did.
Well, looking back is always fun, but it is time, I think, to look forward. And we spent some time in the last hour addressing the future of this organization. Unfortunately for us, we are in a scenario where much of what will happen we cannot predict because we do not know how the Blue Jays management will respond to the free agency situation. We suspect that they will not re-sign Saunders. I think everybody would agree. If not, speak up.
Although you know, when you hear John Gibbons saying he wants more left-handed hitters,
that's a good point.
Why wouldn't you sign a left-handed hitter at least you know a little bit about?
The shocking thing about Saunders is he was a center fielder for a period of time and considered a good defensive player. I don't know whether it's the knee or what it is, but I don't... Would any of you say that you saw what you think is a good defensive outfielder in Saunders?
Well, in fact, I mean, the lack of confidence that John Gibbons had in him in the playoff series told you that he wasn't a good outfielder defensively.
I mean, I don't know what happened to him. Maybe the knee injury.
Well, last year we saw Revere, too, playing there late in the season and was a good outfielder. Compared him, far more pacey, quicker than Saunders. He looked clunky out there, didn't he? You know, compared to Carrera as well, when you saw him come in there.
Yeah.
Clunky and the arm wasn't great. You wonder, though, he's probably the one affordable guy they could re-sign. I mean, what's he going to be after? This year he was on, what, 13, 14 million, I think, approximately?
It's hard to imagine that.
That's affordable, but really, I mean...
I understand, though.
Does a passport count for anything at all?
No.
No.
Nothing at all?
No. Passport means nothing. No.
Well, there's only one passport that counts for one player, and he's not here yet.
So let's.
I don't think that counts.
I think I do. Yeah. I think it counts.
Counts for what?
I think
you
it
think
counts
more
for
people are going to come.
I think there's going to be an emotional pressure to have Joey Votto play here. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot more talk.
If they are prepared to let Edwin go. Now, would you go and get Votto if Edwin re-signs and make Edwin the DH and Votto the everyday first baseman? Would you do that? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, are we putting a limit on our budget right now?
Well, I mean, we're not, but okay, you have so to.
Then the answer is yes.
Well, but you're not going to have I was told today the new CEO, who I've not met, who isn't here yet, is actually a baseball fan.
Enjoy the honeymoon.
Which differs from the last CEO, with due respect. I don't know what that means.
Until he shows up, the board's going to run it, and the board is baseball. They're all baseball fans too.
Sure.
You know?
It's funny, you know, just to Votto for a second. I think everybody knows Joey Votto's had a spectacular career. But we had Buck Martinez in yesterday, and he was throwing a bunch of names, and he said, what about Jackie Bradley Jr.? And we went, I believe, maybe you guys will tell me I'm wrong, that if you told Jays fans that Jackie Bradley Jr. was coming, they'd be more excited than Joey Votto. I just don't think the passport means anything. Anything.
Really, huh? I agree with Shannon. Well, I think it does. I think it means a lot more to Shapiro, fans.
To Shapiro or to the baseball fan?
To anybody.
I disagree. I think to Shapiro, I don't think the passport means anything. I do think to the guy that lives in Etobicoke or the guy that lives in Scarborough, I think having a Canadian play first base, a guy that has had a very good career, as both of you talked about, I think that means a lot to a Canadian
team. They've had Canadians.
And
but they've never had a star. Right. I mean, Martin
Bruce
is
Butler, a... Butler, thank you very much.
Yeah. No, exactly my point.
Well, they had an exciting young player for a short period of time, Brett Laurie, who didn't develop into a star, but he looked like he was going to be a star.
Well,
Everybody remembers that when he hit that home run on Canada Day, loved him
until he proved he wasn't a very good ball player.
I don't think the passport means anything. They want ball players.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in Votto, you've got not only a great player with an impeccable history, but a Canadian passport. Yeah, the issue with him is
the contract
and the age. He's 33. Yeah.
And he's
now, and he's going to get paid till he's 40-ish.
Yeah, I mean.
But he's the ideal package, obviously. But it's star power first. I think I'm with Damien here. It's star power first. And then if you can get a Canadian that has that, great. All the power to you. But quite frankly, given the choice of, like you said, Bradley Jr. or Joey Votto, I understand where the fans
look, I think what we would agree, maybe to a point with, I think, what Damien's trying to say, although I rarely understand what Damien's trying to say. If Joey Votto was an American player, we'd still be interested in Joey Votto.
Yes. At the same level.
At the exact same level.
Yeah. I just don't.
The fact that he's a Canadian makes it a little bit more appealing.
And from my position, I would, if I were running the Blue Jays, and it could happen because there's a whole shakeup coming up here with a new CEO. So I might end up running the Blue Jays.
Is this a scoop? You're saying there's a shakeup coming?
I'll just leave it at that for now. Okay. I'd rather keep the first baseman I have and go find an outfielder. That outfield, particularly when Jose...
Well, then you got to find a DH.
Well...
Two.
Right. But I think I can find a DH.
That's a short-term one. That's the
Yeah,
one
I can find a DH. Yeah. But like, to me, that outfield, particularly when Bautista wasn't out, that is one weak-ass hitting outfield. I want offense from my outfield, and they got almost none.
You're 100% right.
There were just so many days I go, that's the outfield? And that was with Carrera having one heck of an October, but the center fielder didn't hit, you know.
But to improve it, the only guys available are through trade, right? There's no big names in the outfield in free agency. So what do you have to give up to get?
A starting pitcher, right?
So who's it going to be? I mean, Stroman's name is out there.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah,
you know,
but you have to give something to get something, James. I mean, you give up Hap? Do you give up Stroman? You know, you're not giving up any of the other young guys. I mean,
what about Estrada?
That's what I said. Yeah. What about Estrada?
Oh, I tell you what, to me, he's one of those. He gives you so many innings.
He's got a herniated disc in his back.
They all give you innings. Buck Martinez was. He believes that Estrada will continue to be the kind of pitcher he's been for the foreseeable future, which is to say another couple of years. He doesn't see any decline potentially in Estrada. He thinks what he does best is repeatable, and he shows no team shows any signs of being able to figure him out.
All more reason to keep him.
Exactly. 100%.
And Sanchez.
Sanchez is untouchable as far as I'm concerned. He has
Estrada
a chance.
Estrada is 33 years old.
Yes. But.
And Stroman is 25.
Way more marketable, if that counts for anything.
Right.
And it does.
Yeah. It does. I would think you would get more for Stroman.
Who is the highest ERA among the starting pitchers on the Blue Jays staff this year?
Stroman, 4.0.
Who has pitched best for the Toronto Blue Jays in the last two Octobers in the playoffs?
Well, not I wouldn't put Stroman in that list.
I would have said you wouldn't.
Why? Based on his performance, or no Stroman?
No. This year versus last year.
Stroman has been their best starting pitcher the last 2 years in the postseason.
Well, Stroman's ERA against
in the postseason
against Cleveland was 6 and change. He gave up four runs and 5 and something.
Would you rather have Stroman or Sanchez on the mound in a game?
Sanchez.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. Yeah, but Sanchez didn't pitch as a starter in the playoffs last year.
No, I know, but I mean, so that's the tricky. That's your trick question there.
Yeah, they had the must-win game, the wild card. Stroman was outstanding.
Look, we're arguing over a flavor of apple here. You know, do you like Macintosh or do you like some other kind of apple that I can't think of right now?
Red Delicious.
All right, there you go. I mean, they're both. I mean, we don't dislike.
Hold it.
We don't.
Can't name one other kind of apple.
I blanked on apples. I'm not an apple eater. But
Granny Smith's,
Northern Spies,
Honeycrisp, lovely.
Oh my
Northern
God!
Northern Spies make really nice pies.
Spartan. If I ate apples, I'd know all the names of these apples. But
some of us grew up on an apple orchard, so it's okay.
Well, all of you, shut up for a second.
Grapes, however, he's gone down.
Grapes, I know.
Red and green.
Red. What color juice is in a red grape?
Oh, here's our green. Vintner. Our vintner jumps into the argument.
White.
Oh.
All grapes have the same color juice.
Ooh.
Doesn't matter what's on the
edge. Could you stay on topic?
Well, you brought grapes up. I had to show that I know something about grapes. What was the topic?
Pitching for the Blue Jays. Sanchez,
different
Stroman.
And, yeah.
Different flavors. Apples and different oranges.
Flavors of
he
pitching.
Can't remember.
Here's... Stroman is a if they keep Marcus Stroman, no, I won't be unhappy. Nobody here will be unhappy. But at some point, you have to figure out, at least theoretically, who you are willing to move in the right scenario in this starting rotation. Marcus Stroman was 9-9 this year. His ERA was over 4. He wasn't bad, but he went through that stretch where he
struggled
was,
in his second. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is it a second-year struggle? Now, there's another factor in this. A lot of people since day one have said he can't last as a starting pitcher.
And there were a few people at the beginning of this year, there were a number of people who said, this guy's going to win the Cy Young. And who, wasn't he their opening day pitcher?
He was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you had divergent opinion about this, severely divergent opinion.
And I think there still is severely
But nobody thought thought Hap was going to win 20 right. either. So.
Sure.
Including Hap himself, probably.
Yeah, probably.
He also brings with him that swagger, that attitude. And you wonder if management wants to change that attitude in the room. If Batista leaves, something changes. The dynamic changes too. Is he part of that? Because I found this team late in the season become, in many ways, quite unlikable with that swagger bordering on arrogance. When they're winning, it's great. Oh, yeah, get in there. It's fantastic. But when they're losing, it gets tiresome. And I thought Batista was a prime example of that.
Because it's never their fault, James.
I wonder if it's the frustration that we as fans feel for what our expectation level was and what the results ultimately were. I don't know. I don't know how to react. You know, somebody talked about Encarnacion laughing on the bench when the Blue Jays were losing 4-2. Does that bother you? I mean, it doesn't.
You know, I mean,
baseball's not with him.
What's the context? I mean, you don't know what they were saying. You don't know how they were saying it. I mean, it's so difficult for us to be on the outside looking into there.
Yeah, those same people will praise the guy who keeps everybody loose out there. Yeah, I mean, it's that sort of stuff.
Like, would I like to see Kevin Pillar or Justin Smoke a little more animated when they strike out? I suppose I would.
I'd just like to get them to get a hit.
But they just kind of okie dokie.
I don't think they do. I think that's
like a giraffe and back to the boat.
See,
they go.
Look, I think baseball is a huge part of playing baseball is accepting failure. 7 times out of 10, you're getting out. If you're less than a 300 hitter, it's more than that, you're going to strike out. And I think you have to, throwing tantrums, that's just for show. That's just to show Bob McCown. Hey, I'm really upset here because I'm really actually really good and I shouldn't have struck out. Whereas, I mean, Tulowitzki is the prime stone face.
Yeah, but intense though.
He plays and whatever happens, he keeps the same demeanor. Those are the kind of ball players you want.
You're not wrong. I mean, in Jose Bautista as a contrarian, I mean, he shows his emotion, and there are points during the season where you cringe at him showing that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hide, you know, his displeasure with himself or with the umpire. When he strikes out.
And the fine line is you don't know which is which.
No, you don't.
And again, like I always find, and we get in this argument in hockey all the time, but with baseball, I don't see emotion out of Jose Bautista. I see crankiness. I see him up there.
Very surly, isn't he?
I see him up there bitching. That's not, to me, that's not positive emotion.
So I'll ask a question that I don't think any of us know the answer. I know none of us know the answer to, and that is, do you think Jose Bautista is liked in that clubhouse?
I have no idea.
Well, we don't know, answer.
Let me ask you this question based on the way we're talking about emotion. Does it matter? Does it really matter? I mean, if he does his job and if he has 30 home runs and 100 runs batted in, does it matter?
I suppose it doesn't.
I mean, I think
baseball is the one sport of the big four sports that you really do have the ability to have an individual personality and still contribute to the team.
Well, do you think his teammates were happy when he called out Merritt before Game 5? I bet they weren't happy about that.
Bet you
that.
I don't even know, half of them wouldn't even notice.
And most of them probably wouldn't have read the newspaper or followed it in social media.
I mean, my guess would be that Jose Bautista is a superbly conditioned athlete who works hard at his craft. And most of the guys, whether they like or dislike him, would respect how he approaches the game. You know, and some of them, you know, it's some of your guys are going to like some of your guys and some of them not.
I mean,
he had 45 home runs, everybody would love him.
Yeah, and I know it's ancient history, but, you know, one of the greatest dynasties in baseball in our lifetime were the Oakland A's. And they hated each other.
Yeah.
And they were public about hating each other, and all they did was win 3 World Series in a row.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't matter.
Is it the one sport where you can dislike your teammates?
I think so. I really do.
Compared to hockey or
absolutely,
other sports?
I really do. I think that the way the game is played, where the team aspect and the individual aspect some just don't blend, I think you can do that.
But you're also playing every single day. Yeah. Well, all summer. I mean, that must grind on people.
Well, if you have somebody that you don't like that you got to be with all that time.
Remember like being married.
Papelbon Harper.
Worse.
And the one thing I would say is striking about this team, and I don't necessarily think it's reflective of like or dislike among the players, is their unwillingness to give themselves up to move a guy along. And it just went on and on and on and on. Now, whether they couldn't do it, didn't want to do it, weren't asked to do it, whatever. But it came, I mean, even in the Cleveland series, where you know runs are at a premium, and they'd get somebody on first, and Russell Martin would come up, or Encarnacion, or... And there was no chance they were even going to hit to the, you know, to try to advance that base runner.
But they're a slugging team.
They were just swinging.
I just don't think they could. I mean, particularly in the Cleveland shift, I don't think they could really. I mean, if they, you know, Russell, you have to hit over here with the way the Cleveland pitching was, the way Cleveland defense was. I don't think he could.
And I'm not saying it was easy, but you never got the sense they were effectively going to be able to do that in a series where there were so few.
Well, but I think the character of a team is established literally in spring training, and then it doesn't change. I mean, cite the case of...
You can't expect that they're going to change, right?
Especially in a postseason series. Like, I mean, are you going to ask Edwin Encarnacion to lay down a bunt if they got somebody on second?
Particularly when the series before that, they were hitting the ball all over the place.
Look how they got out of the wild card game.
Yep, three-run
with a home run.
I think Gibbons said that too. He said, "Listen, we're a home run hitting ball club."
Well, and that's why I think that's going to be the really interesting. So we know John Gibbons is going to be back. When you start looking forward, they are going to demand. I think we all agree a different kind of ball club next year. I'm going to be really interested if he can effectively manage that kind of ball club, and I'm not saying he can't. But I'm going to be really interested to see if he can.
I think you play the chips that you're given.
Right, and that maybe that's simple.
And how much of a shift will that be? I don't mean if we're saying that all they can do right now is hit home runs.
Could be dramatic, John. It could be dramatic. If you lose your
but you're not going to – Donaldson's still going to be here. So Josh Donaldson can still hit the long ball.
Tulowitzki can, but he can do a lot of other things. Those are two guys who are willing to hit to right field.
Too. Yeah. I'm just saying I think we're going to probably see a little bit of a hybrid rather than a paramount shift from one style of baseball to the other.
Well, I think
see a bit of a hybrid, don't you?
Look, I think the two things that this organization will mandate as their priority is to acquire left-handed bats and higher on-base percentage. And in doing so, you attract a different kind of player. Even a Joey Votto is not a home run hitter, per se. He's a high average, high on-base percentage guy. Mm-hmm. I think they want more speed, and I think they want higher on-base percentage. And when you have those kinds of players, you play differently. You're going to ask them to play differently, and therefore the whole structure of the organization will change. I don't think this team was put together with the idea we're going to go out and get four big bangers and put them bum, 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 bum in the lineup, and this is our strategy, is to out-home run people. It just kind of happened. It just kind of happened. When they got Edwin Encarnacion, was he a home run hitter?
Oh, that was you're talking about way back then.
No, but he wasn't a home run hitter. Jose Bautista was a part-time player. Mm-hmm. They both developed as home run hitters with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Sure.
Josh Donaldson, although he'd showed power in Oakland, was better known as an average hitter than a home run hitter.
But that's also different.
And that evolved.
In the ballpark he played in.
Well, sure. And that evolved.
Right.
Well, bear in mind, Shapiro essentially built Cleveland in many regards that way, right? So he's got a chance this summer to put his mark on this team. He could reinvent the outfield if he wants to. He get a new first baseman, a new DH. If he wants to, he can reinvent this team to whatever he wants. Maybe it isn't more the way of Cleveland, the way that was built.
But the caveat to that, James, is that didn't take 1 year. That took a heck of a lot longer time. We're talking, Lindor. We're marveling at Lindor.
Except he had budget restrictions in Cleveland.
Yeah, but we're marveling at Lindor. But Lindor was a draft 5 years ago?
Yeah, but...
Come on. And that's what people are going to have to... If we're talking about a huge shift... We're not talking something that's a quick fix.
He was mandated to build the organization through his draft because of the budgetary limitations that he had. He no longer has those budgetary limitations, and it remains to be seen whether he's philosophically in Cleveland mode or did it that way because it was the only way he could.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah, and I think it's remarkable, for example, how quickly the Boston Red Sox went from being an older team to one of baseball's best young teams. Baseball does seem to be a sport.
A lot of luck in that, I think.
Sure. But baseball does seem to be a sport where young players do move. They do move. I'm not talking the Bryce Harpers or guys like that. I'm talking like young players move in trades all the time. Because
it's
still a sport where big numbers of prospects. Look what Texas gave up to bring in the guys that they brought in at the trade deadline. And young players do move. Look at the Blue Jays traded Noah Syndergaard, and so aggressiveness can bring in quality, hopefully, but in the right situation, youth as well, particularly as we saw in the Liriano trade, if you're willing to take some cash on as part of it.
I think you guys would agree, but I'm interested in your response. We have what is considered a weak free agent crop this year. It's not that there's nobody in it, but I would say Edwin Encarnacion is at the top of that list. And a better year by Jose Bautista in the top two would be free agents would be Blue Jays. But next year, va-va-voom, do you try and patch something together that you hope can be competitive by not getting younger yet, but by going and getting maybe even older players who you can sign on one plus an option contracts or 2-year deals, and then try and cobble something together for 2017, believing that the 17-18 draft or a free agent market will reap so many benefits that you can retool them.
But isn't that what the Yankees are doing too? And they're going to be big players, obviously, and you can't compete with them. So what if you strike out in a year from now?
Well, but there's so many good guys in that group. Really? Yeah, I think you can find something there. It's just a thought. I don't know that Shapiro is going to go that route, But it is an option.
Well, two questions. What do you have now? And Buck was running over a bunch of names for us yesterday. I don't know these guys. So what do you have now in the system? Do you have anybody who can play? But also, you have to be realistic as in terms of all those guys may be available two summers from now, but is this the franchise that's going to be able to lure them? And the track record of this franchise luring big-name free agents is it depends.
It's iffy.
It's not necessarily, you know, they play on turf. They play.
Yeah, we look at that though, Damien. I will say this: there are a lot of people that look at the Toronto Blue Jays situation and believe that this is a market nobody wants to come to.
Okay. So Bryce,
I would say if you looked at the players that New York wanted that didn't sign with New York, or the Dodgers wanted that didn't sign with the Dodgers, and go right down the list, what you'll find is free agents have reasons to go
absolutely
different places, different times, and almost invariably it's about who pays the most.
So Bryce Harper becomes a free agent in 2 years, right? What are the chances
at the end of 17?
What are the chances that the Toronto Blue Jays are competitive in the bidding to get Bryce Harper if they are so inclined? And zero.
Well, some people.
The answer is zero.
Some people have opined already, including our own Dan Shulman, that Bryce Harper might get $50 million
right
a year.
But that's what I'm saying. So you can say all you want. Wow, there's should they wait and then and bid in that free agent market? Yes, if you believe that they have a chance of successfully bidding for the top free agents. Otherwise, I think you got to play it more like the Toronto Raptors and say, we're going to do it through bringing in our own people and trades.
And if you look at Mark Shapiro's resume, that's the way he does it. That's the way he did
it.
That's
the way he did it in Cleveland.
I know. Yeah, that's right. And so, but that takes time. And I think that's the one warning you're saying. I mean, the third year in a row of the Jays going to the ALCS, it might be tough.
We haven't shut up for a long time here. We've got to take a break, and we'll come back with more. The roundtable continues. This is Primetime Sports.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, pay attention. Bob Reed's promotional announcement now. There's no peeking. Just listen. For the past 2 weeks, you've been listening for the Win Your Way to the World Series code word to qualify for an all-inclusive trip for two to Game 4 of the World Series, courtesy of Miller Lite, the official beer of Major League Baseball in Canada. It is time to announce our grand prize winner. Your drum roll. Prize includes return airfare from Toronto, two nights accommodation, $500 U.S. in spending money, and a pair of tickets to Game 4 of the World Series. The congratulations go to Steve Kennedy of Burlington, Ontario, who is the winner. Thank you very much.
Hello, boy, Steve.
I didn't even know we were running the damn contest. I never mentioned it the whole time. It was like in the commercial breaks and the promos and stuff? Okay.
Steve, a Jays fan? Probably.
I have statistics with regard to the Blue Jays pitchers, but I have no idea what that means. So we're not going to discuss it. Oh. Wait a sec. Hang on.
What are we? Are we fact-checking now?
If we're criticizing Damien, maybe I better take a second look.
True. False.
Blue Jays starting pitching stats for 2016. Marcus Stroman was 0-1, 476. Happ was 1-1, 270. Estrada was 1-2, 201, and Sanchez 1-0, but with a 540.
Now, do you want to fact check what I actually said, or do you want to just make up what you want to fact check?
He did it for the last two
seasons.
He's been their best guy.
Wait a sec. No, he hasn't. Estrada has been. The year before, Stroman was
1-0,
419 ERA. Estrada, 2-1, 233 ERA. How can you say Stroman is better than Estrada over the last two playoffs?
To me, Marcus Stroman has been their best pitcher. To me, he has been their best pitcher in the last two playoffs. He's pitched the biggest games. He's hung in there. The wild card game was huge. You can disagree. And you know, ERA is a funny number that doesn't always, but anyways.
Well, it's.
Feel free to disagree.
All right, let me give you another number.
And I think that's the value of part why he's possibly the guy to trade, because he has more value.
I think he's the guy to trade.
Stroman?
Absolutely.
But then he'd been burned in the past by trading young pitchers. What if he turns out to be something special?
You can't worry about other teams. You have to worry about your own
team. You can't worry about what happens to a guy after he leaves.
You're trying to get something special. You just got to put the blinders on. So you have to feel like you're giving them something special.
That's right.
No, of course. I know. Obviously, you've got to give something to get something. But Noah Syndergaard was mentioned before, and it still burns Jays fans.
But they traded Noah Syndergaard. What fans don't know is they traded Noah Syndergaard when he was in Class A or Class AA. I mean,
they knew he was pretty good.
You knew he was pretty good.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
But
now at the time.
They traded Syndergaard, believing that Sanchez was a better pitcher.
And he's not. Yeah.
Not yet.
Oh, he's pretty
good. Syndergaard's pretty awesome. But they also traded the outfielder, Jake Marisnyk, and they thought he was going to be a star, and he didn't. So
what about the catcher that went
Travis
to the
Darno.
And Darno, who, he's been injured ever since.
Lord knows how I remember these.
But he can play a bit.
Yeah, no, he's a good player, but he's always hurt.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
Can we stop with the Babcockisms?
He's not here in town. Somebody needs to do his job.
He's a good player.
Oh, no. So Damien and I can stop, but you can't.
It's my show. That is the point of difference that you've never been able to assimilate. Never in your miserable little life have you been able to assimilate whose show this is.
Whose show is this?
Johnny Carson.
Good player. Oh.
Yeah.
Breaks me up more when you do it. What haven't we talked about with the Blue Jays that you would like to discuss? We talked about.
Are you surprised that Gibbons got the vote of confidence?
No, hell no.
Will they extend him or just let him manage next year and then figure it out? What do you think? I mean, they should extend him, shouldn't they?
He did have. During the time Anthopoulos was here, he was given 1 year plus option contracts so that he would always have, even if they fired him, he'd have one more year of salary. I think they converted that last year, didn't they?
They did. They gave him a little more money and converted that.
Yeah. So I don't think they're really. I don't know. They're just not going to fire him, and he's going to work off the last year of his existing contract.
This was just a very quick public vote of confidence.
So you end the debate.
Yeah,
and I'm okay with that. You get to the ALCS 2 years in a row. You've demonstrated a capability to guide this team to where it needs to go. Now you have to keep winning. That's just the nature of sports. So he's going to have to keep winning, but I'm okay with John Gibbons.
Well, I like Gibby. I think the point here is, as you mentioned, is two ALCS series in a row. What the hell do you want? Who fires their manager after accomplishing that?
No, but George
Steinbrenner might.
Well, the Billy Martin firings, I don't remember if they fired him after he got to the World Series.
It's a funny discussion because I said to you right now, okay, everybody today just fired their manager. Pick whoever you want. Would you pick John Gibbons first?
No, I wouldn't.
That's a good one.
I wouldn't.
Who would you take for? Do you have a name in mind?
Who I'd take as my manager?
Yeah.
I'm still a Buck guy, even though he screwed up the reliever.
Yeah, I like
Showalter. I think he gets more out of his players than anybody else.
I like Showalter too. I mean,
I like Frank Coleman.
Well, that's the recency effect.
We're now talking about the two managers the Blue Jays just faced.
But nobody talks about Joe Maddon.
Or two of them,
Joe Maddon. I mean, and how about in San Francisco, Bruce Bochy?
He's pretty good, too. There's a list. There's a few of them. The music's playing. The band is warming up. We got to take the break. There's more of the roundtable coming up. Hang in. This is Primetime.